Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm Son of Yeshua Abel, Deacon Yashon Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding a seat for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son Yeshua Abel, Deacon Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. I have a pleasure and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. Barzilai Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is The Second Seal. Now, when Yeshua opened the second seal to Yochanan, he revealed the results of governments run of the people and by the people. The result Yeshua revealed was not peace and tranquility. The result was always war. And if you can see here, I have an article. And it says... It says, ex-Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev looks like the world is preparing for war. And it says, politicians and military leaders sound increasingly belligerent and defense doctrines more dangerous, Gorbachev wrote. Commanders and TV personalities, it looks like the world is preparing for war. If you'll turn over to Revelation 6, 4 through 5, and that's found on page 974. Revelation 6, 4 through 5. It says, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was granted to him, who sat upon it and to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And they were given, and there was given to him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third creature say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. Yeshua showed Yochanan what would take place among the worldly governments who are ruled by lust. If you'll turn over to Jacob 4:1, find on page 955. Jacob 4:1, page 955. And it says, what causes wars and fighting among you? Is it not from this, from your lust that battles in your members? And if you'll skip down to verse 2, it says, you lust but do not have, you murder and covet but you cannot obtain. You fight in war yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you know, that's what we see in the worldly governments today. Now, there are two spirits that rule in the lives of men. One spirit is the Holy Spirit. Yahweh's Holy Spirit is a spirit of love and concern for others. Yahweh's Holy Spirit seeks peace, described by the Apostle Shaul. If we turn over to 1 Corinthians, actually, Yochanan 14, 17. Yochanan 14, 17. And that's found on page 831. Well, actually, 832. The spirit of truth, which is the word, cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. But you know Yahweh, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The world cannot receive Yahweh's Holy Spirit that guides to all truth because they rejected Yahweh's laws. The second spirit that rules in the lives of men is entirely different to the Holy Spirit. One can say it is totally different. Turn over to Yochanan 8:44, found on page 824. And it says, "You are of your teacher, who is Satan the devil. And whatever she who is your teacher desires, you will do. She is a murderer from the beginning and remained not in the truth, because there is no truth in her. Therefore, when you speak your falsehood, you speak her words, because she is a liar and the teacher of all lies." And you know that truth that it's talking about, that's Yahweh's laws. Since there are two spirits that rule in the lives of men, it is simple to realize from the scriptures why we have wars. As Jacob 4:1 said, it's because of the lust. You know, whether it's lust for oil or lust for money. The Holy Spirit can only be given to those who accept Yahweh as their Father. The spirit of lust, which is the second spirit, is of the adversary, Satan the devil. And the scripture says Satan is the ruler of the world, and it is her spirit that prevails in the lives of men. The leaders of the nations have refused Yahweh's perfect laws of peace. Each of these governments are of the people and by the people and against Yahweh. Since the world leaders and people cannot receive the Holy Spirit of Yahweh that leads to peace, they only have the spirit of Satan that leads to war. And if you can see here in this article, it says, the Trump doctrine, peace through strength. And down here it says, America will be great again through a strong military and economy. And also, as you can see here, this is it goes from Roman soldiers, Roman uniforms, to fighter jets and missiles. So, you know, as you can see here, as the prophecy also says, knowledge would be increased. So, in conclusion, let us not have the spirit of Satan, which is war, and let's all be in unity. And if you all please stand.
Deacon Shlomo Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about being thankful for what we have. Being thankful for what we have here at the house of Yahweh. Alright, if you turn in the back of your book of Yahweh over to where the laws are. Positive law number 19 says, be thankful to Yahweh in prayer, praise, and deed. Deuteronomy 8 verse 10. And that's what you see throughout your book of Yahweh. You know, the people were thankful. They were thankful for everything Yahweh gave them. You know, they were thankful for the food they had. They were thankful for the prophecies. You know, the people, they were thankful. If you turn to Deuteronomy 8:10, it says, when you have eaten and you are satisfied, then you must bless Yahweh your father for the rich land that he has given you. And remember, we see this with Yahshua, you know, before he broke up the bread and gave them the wine too, he thanked Yahweh for it. Now the world is trained in seeking silver and gold, all right? They are also trained, and they go through a rigorous program in teaching the children to set goals, like a high-paying job. They also teach the children to conform, not with what's righteous, but what's acceptable. All right, and you can see this even in the news when they, in like last year, with the gay marriage and these things, you can see that they're conforming with not what's righteous, but what's acceptable, what the crowd is going with. All right, so that's what they're taught. They're taught to conform. Now, that's not the way of Yahweh. The Savior pointed out what we should be seeking for. If you turn to Matthew 6, Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says, "But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." All right, so you seek the kingdom of Yahweh, not this silver and gold that the world has trained you your whole life. While you were in school, while you were growing up, you know, you need a high-paying job. No, you have to seek the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Yahweh will give you everything you need if you seek the kingdom of Yahweh first. All right, if you turn to Ecclesiastes 5, Ecclesiastes 5, on page 521, and verse 10 says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. He who loves abundance will not be satisfied with increase. This is also vanity, meaningless." All right? So when you start making money, you know, you'll use it up, and then you're going to want more money. All right? And that's why in the world they push you to get a high-paying job, all right? Because those who want silver, who love silver, they won't be satisfied with what they have. Your only satisfaction comes with knowing that you have done your best and you have tried and you know you will make it, all right? And that's what you see with the apostles before some of them died. You know, they knew that they were going to make it in the kingdom because they did their best. They have that satisfaction. You know that you'll get that position, that gold position that Yahweh created you for. If you turn to Genesis 1, Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, "Then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image according to my likeness. They will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." All right, and then Yahweh created the woman and the man. And then he said in verse 28, Yahweh said to him, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have rulership," and we know that's authority, "over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And also in Revelations, you can see the positions that we're going to get if we strive to make it in the kingdom. The one who seeks anything else, it will not last. All right, if you seek silver, it won't last. You can stack a truckload of silver up, and when you die, you won't keep any of it, or you won't take it with you to the grave. And the things that you will get those positions and the tests and trials, not gold and silver. All right, if you turn to Exodus 20, we see that we're going to get tests and trials. It says, "Moshe said to the people, 'Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, so that the reverence for Yahweh will be with you, so that you do not commit sin. All right, so do not fear, because Yahweh is going to test you to see if you're worthy for that position. And this is what you should be thankful for. The Yahweh is testing you for the kingdom. You know, if you're getting tested, it means because you only got tested, or you're only starting to get tested when you come to the house of Yahweh. But when you're getting tested, it means that you've made it to that level. You've tried and you came to the house. It means you've made it to that level where Yahweh's actually starting to notice you. You know, he's actually starting to see that, all right, he's trying. And so he tests you to see if you're going to get that position, to see if you're worthy for that position. So if you pass the test, then he knows, all right, I can give him that. But if you fail, then he knows, well, he can't do that. All right? So he's actually taking notice of you to see what position you're going to get. That's what we should be thankful for. We should be thankful for what we have here in the house of Yahweh. Now, in the 1930s, the people that lived in Oklahoma, you know, you never saw disappointment, all right? They lived in poor conditions, like the pastor's family, for instance. They lived in poor conditions, and they were thankful for what they had. You know, they had a King James Version, and they were thankful for it. They had the Bible, because remember, the reason they were thankful is because it had been stopped. You know, they couldn't have the Bible for so long because the Catholic Church and those people, they took it from them. So they were thankful. You know, they knew that what they were going through, they were poor. And they were thankful that at least they had the Bible. And they loved to study. They loved to study the scriptures. And that's what pastor's whole family, they looked forward to it. Every night, they looked forward to reading the scriptures. Now the rewards from it, the rewards from the Bible or the book of Yahweh, they will never end. If you strive to make it to that position when you die, then you'll get that position when you're resurrected. All right, so you can take this with you. All right, but silver and gold you can't take with you. Now everyone here should rejoice greatly, because Yahweh is here to test us. If Yahweh did not call you, you would probably be out begging for food or begging for a job. The only reason you're here is because Yahweh called you. Now you were never told that you would get a lot of money. You never told you were going to get rich. You know, there's no silver here, but we are offered the kingdom, and we should rejoice greatly because of that. Praise Yahweh. Now in pastor's dream, the Yahweh is in full control. Yahweh showed pastor that he would protect his house. All right, and that's what you see with when the car was coming and they thought it would go into the water, but then the car stopped. You see, Yahweh is showing you there that he's going to protect his house. If you turn to Zechariah 9, verse 8, it says, it's on page 721, "Then I will encamp around my house like a guard against those who march in and out. No more will an oppressor overrun them, for now my eyes are watching over them." All right, so Yahweh will encamp. So he's showing that protection. And if you look up the word encamp here, let me see here. It's Hebrew word 2583, and it means encamp. But then also, it says here, for protection. All right, for protection. And it says camp, dwell, encamp. So Yahweh is here with his house. All right, he's going to protect us in time of need. Now this scripture here that Yahweh will encamp around his house like a guard, this scripture is for this time period, all right, when Yahshua is high priest. And you can see that in Zechariah 6, verse 11, "Take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yeshua, son of Yazadak, the high priest. It says, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and he will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both. All right, so this is for this time period that Yahweh will give us that protection. All right, it's for this time period when Yeshua is high priest. Verse 16 of Zechariah 9, verse 16, says, Yahweh, their father, will save them as the flock of his people in that day. For they will be like the jewels of a crown, lifted high like an ensign, a beacon upon his land. All right, so Yahweh's going to lift us up. We will be like the jewels. So we are what Yahweh wants. He will lift us up high and protect us. All right, we should be thankful for this, that we're being protected by Yahweh. Now, the world seeks conformity. The one thing that they teach is to conform with the crowd. Conformity with evil, conforming with evil, is like seeking silver. You know, it's worthless. We should be thankful that we are being tried. In conclusion, we should be thankful that we are being tried. Yahweh is protecting us, and we will gain this forever position in the kingdom of Yahweh. Alright, and with that, if everyone will please stand, I'd like to turn over to the great Khan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom! Great saints of Yahweh, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Yahweh is going to encamp around his house and guard his house. Isn't that amazing? Okay, it's cold outside, but we'll try to get the fire going. I needed to, before I go any further, just to, last week I showed a picture of how far Babylon, New York was from House of Yahweh, and it didn't come out very clear, but y'all can see it now, right? 1,776 miles even. Okay? Remember the establishment of the House of Yahweh? And in these last days in a Babylonish land, okay, that Zechariah talked about, it's just amazing the coincidences, isn't it? I can't hear you. Okay, I'm going to continue on this theme of the two witnesses by Israel Hawkins, New Light. And I want you to recall the gematria of that title. Look at the last one. It's 322. That's what we're going to be talking about today. I showed you this last week. This is a very great man's tag number. Current. Gee, what a coincidence. Well, you're going to find out why. Okay? Now, if you remember, the last few weeks we've been going over this. If you could pull this in just a little bit. The dedication of the House of Yahweh in 1980 by the two witnesses. And remember that dedication literally means renewal. And the words dedication and consecration refer to the renewal of the worship of Yahweh, which took place on December 2nd, 1980. The mobile sanctuary, you know, the one that moves. Mobile home. Now, 29 days before that took place, you know, pastor is all about education, okay? Continual learning and education in growth in Yahweh's way and in Yahweh's, in all of creation. He wants to know everything. Okay? And so should we. We should want to know how things operate. We should thirst for knowledge. Okay? And I can see that, we can see through pastor's life, he has always sought to attain more knowledge about all things. And I can see in these last days, he's training his children. He's training his people to learn all they can about the operation of Yahweh's creation. 29 days before December 2nd, 1980, Pastor got a certificate for astronomy. He took 16 hours at Tri-College Continuing Education, Abilene, Texas. And you can see 3rd of November, 1980 is when he got the certificate, 29 days before the dedication took place. And by the way, I like their little logo here. It says, learning never ends. Learning never ends, okay? Remember, learn what to teach, then teach what you've learned from the house of Yahweh. And think about all the things that we know about the universe today because of that man. If he had not have taken, remember, don't get astronomy confused with astrology. Astronomy, you know, is the study of planets and their movements and, you know, the way things operate in the universe, okay? Now, amazingly enough, let's look at Hebrew 1980. It means continuing. You know, like that continuing education that our pastor got? It also means brought, becoming increasingly, continually, continued, grew steadily. You know, remember what it said about Yahshua, how he grew in honor and wisdom in the sight of men? You can think of pastor the same way. He's done the same thing in these last days. He's a pattern of Yahshua if you look at his life. It also means grew continually, growing, sprout. If you remember Isaiah 44:4, let's turn there real quick. Isaiah 44:4 in your book of Yahweh, page 558. And it says, they will spring up among the grass as willows by the water courses. And that word spring up, if you look up the definition in Strong's, it means sprout. Okay? Also means patrol and patrolled. Patrolled, I guess, in the past tense, because remember, he used to be a police officer in Abilene. And he did patrol and guard Abilene. Okay? He'd be a great guard to have, would he not? Okay, so it also means, in the Greek, it means to look upon, visit, and select. To inspect and examine with the eyes. And you know, Yahweh did look upon us in these last days by giving us this great seventh Moloch, did he not? Did he not visit his people with this great seventh Moloch? I mean, this is just, it's really amazing. Pastor's life. I was telling him, you know, the other, by the way, here's his instructor at that college right there. That's from the Abilene Reporter News. Dr. G. Norman Weaver, professor in religious education, director of Tri-College Continuing Education. As you can see, he's the one that signed pastor's certificate right here. He was a director. Okay, now, let's talk again. Let's tie this in to this number. At the entrance of Abilene, and in fact surrounding the town of Abilene, you see Luke 3:22. Here's the entrance to Abilene. Now, of course, you got the buffalo standing there. Isn't all these coincidences just really amazing? You know? So let's talk about Texas State Highway 322. Do you have your pens and pencils ready? Okay. They're going to be on fire by the time this is done. Okay, so let's look at this. It's called Texas State Highway Loop 322. It says Loop 322 is a 7.167 mile or 11.534 kilometer loop route in the city of Abilene, in the U.S. state of Texas, located in Taylor County. Let's look at these numbers that are being postulated here, including when they started building it in 1957. Remember, Pastor told you last week this loop was not complete until it was a progressional loop. Okay, it began in 57, but it didn't end until after Pastor got here. And if you notice, the south end is at 83. It's going out of town, I know, because I go this route when I go to Laredo, because 83 goes straight to Laredo. That's the south end of it. The north end is I-20. So let's look at 7. Remember, it's a 7.167-mile loop. Greek 7 means, it's Hebrew abia, which is Hebrew word number 29, and it means Yahweh is my Father. Yahweh is my Father. Don't worry, it gets better. Remember, Yah is the shortened form of Yahweh. You can find that in the King James in Psalm 68, verse 4. So let's look at 167, because it's a 7.167-mile loop. This is in Hebrew, it means to move a tent from place to place. Remember mobile sanctuary? It means move tents, because remember also that the original House of Yahweh grounds was where? It was in Abilene. It's in the city of Abilene, still is, in Abilene proper. In fact, I'll show you right here where it's located. Here's Loop 322 surrounding Abilene. And the sanctuary is right over here. This is 36. It's right over here in this area right here. See that little body of water? It's within that loop. Keep that in your mind. It's within that loop. Let's go back to 167. It means to pitch a tent. And it's from this word, Hebrew word ohel, and it means tent. And it means home. It means dwelling or habitation. Remember the dwelling or the habitation of Yahweh in Psalm 91? Because you have made my house your dwelling, I'll give you what? Protection. Okay? You're at the protected place. The habitation of my house. It says the sacred tent used in the worship of Yahweh, the tent of meeting, where he meets with his congregation. It means covering, dwelling place, home, tabernacle, tent, covering, dwelling. And it's from Hebrew ahal. And look at this. It means to be bright, to be clear, to shine. To be clear, to shine. Shine as a light, as a beacon to the world. You understand this? The seventh light set up in Abilene, Texas, prophesied it to be in Abilene. Do you understand how amazing that is? Sent by commandment. You know, it's not just some, we chose this willy-nilly. Let's build some place. I mean, come on. I mean, if I had my way, it would have been built in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, or somewhere where it's nice and warm and... Not in this God-forsaken land here. I'm so glad we've forsaken the gods, aren't you? In fact, you know, the gods are going to be abolished. Okay? Completely abolished. Let's go back to this, because it tells us, also, it's 11.534 kilometers. Okay? So let's look at the number 11, and it's the Hebrew word Abraham. And it means, remember, he's extolled, it says, by the Apostle Shaul as a pattern of faith, on which account all believers in Yahweh have a claim to the titles of sons. And it means exalted father. And it means father of a multitude. Father of a multitude. Remember, a multitude of all nations. Who's going to be coming here, House of Yahweh? Is not the multitudes making their way here now? And also 534, this should really ring a bell. It's 11.534. Do you remember Daniel was written? Daniel 12 was written in 534. And Pastor got up here and read. He read extensively from Hebrew word 534. He spent at least 20 minutes on it. And it means the top, the summit. You know, the top, in the top nation of all nations, I will make you the top, not the head, not the tail, the summit, branch. Notice, it means branch. Branch. There's another clue. Who's the branch? Who's the branch? Remember, behold the man whose name is the branch. Here he is, working side by side with Yahshua, Messiah, shown in the heavens, trillions of miles out. Okay? Behold the man whose name is the branch. He will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh. Zechariah 6, 11 and 12. How much plainer can it get? It's from 559, and it means to utter, to say, to command, commands, plainly says, answers, you know, Israel says. That's where you get your answers, isn't it? At Abilene. Seek the house. This is just, to me, oh, also it means telling, tells, utters, you know, he tells it like it is, uttering the words of Yahweh. Now, if you remember, you won't remember. That's why I got to show it to you. Pastor always tells me, don't tell them remember because they don't show them. Because we forget. You know, it's easy to forget all these numbers. There's so many of them. Remember it was built in 1957? They started it in 1957. Not completed, but they started building it. Notice here. 1957, to bear witness. Wow. To testify, bear witness, to witness about the work that Yahweh has done and is doing in a fitting and suitable way. Do you know anybody that could do that other than Israel Hawkins? The witness, the seventh Balak? It means to bear witness, to establish by testimony. To corroborate, to testify. It's from, here's 1957 in the Hebrew, it means dreamers. To dream. It's from Hebrew, chatza. And it means to see. Behold. Envision and vision. See, seeing, select. See, behold. Behold the branch. Remember, to see as a seer in an ecstatic state, like a vision, having a vision, a television, right? Okay, now it gets better. Are you ready to really get some fire going? Okay. Remember, the name of this highway is called the Texas State Highway Loop 322. So we pop that in the gematria right there. And as you can see, the number is 5439. Write that down, please. It's going to come in handy here in a minute. 5439. I could go through these other numbers, but I don't have time to, but I'm going to go through this one. So you can see how astronomically intelligent and how mind-blowing the mind of Yahweh actually is. And I don't say that lightly. There's just no way to explain the wisdom of Yahweh. He knows every hair on our head, man. It's numbered. 5439 means circuit. It means around. It means all around, all sides, circular course, circumference, surrounding, loop 322, loop, y'all catching that? Loop 322. Now let me show you a little something about the loop. Because it's not just called a loop. It's known as a ring road. They're called ring roads, okay? A ring road, also known as a beltline, beltway, circumferential highway. As you can see right here, circumferential, something about, let's see, where's it at? Where'd it go? Oh, here, circumference. Remember, it means around. A beltline is beltway, circumferential highway, loop, or orbital. These are what they're known as in different cities around the world. Encircling a town or a city. Okay? You all got it so far? Let's continue. It means surrounding, to surround, like to surround a city. A circuit, a roundabout. Roundabout circuit, a circle, okay? And it's from the Hebrew kebab, and it means to turn about, to go around, surround, circled around, circling, circumference, circle. There's a lot of other meanings too, but compass, circuit, surround. You get the point? Loop, 322. In case there's any doubts, look it up. 5439 is the gematria of Texas State Highway Loop 322. You don't write 322. That's not proper. You'll get in trouble with your math teacher if you use that, right? It's 322. So you have to make sure you put them in there right so you can get the exact meaning of these things. Okay, now watch this. 5439 in the Greek. It means to imprison or deliver into custody. And it's from this word, Greek phulax. And it means a guard, a keeper. Didn't we just hear something from a young future priest about he will circle and camp around his house and guard it? Did y'all hear that? Wow, what a coincidence. It means to guard, guarding, to guard and watch, to observe, preserve, protect, watching. You know, Yahweh's eyes are guarding and watching this work, okay? He is guarding it. We are the apple of his eye, he said. Do you understand that? The gates of hell will not prevail against the house of Yahweh, okay? Yahweh is watching and preserving and protecting this work. It means to guard and to keep. It means to guard, protect. I mean, it's just on and on. To keep and observe. And notice it's from 5443 and it means a tribe or race of people. The descendants of a common ancestor like the progeny springing from Jacob or Israel. The ones springing from Israel. Who would that be? Who's the sons of Israel here? That's right, the house of Yahweh. Who is our father on this earth at this time? Who begot you with the message? It wasn't anybody but Israel Hawkins. It means an offshoot, a race or a clan. It means, and it's from 4:53, means to grow up, spring up, bring forth, produce. Notice a leaf. Or leaves. From the same as this word meaning sprout. You see how it came full circle again to Isaiah 44:4? Wow, what a coincidence. And it's from this, and it means to guard, observe, to maintain, preserve, keep intact, spiritually guard and watch, to keep guard over, preserve, reserved, watching over. Pretty clear, right, house of Yahweh? Now, watch this. Now, I already found this right here days ago about the ring road. And then this pops up in the news yesterday. A ring of fire solar eclipse occurs Sunday morning. Here's how to watch. Now, this is tomorrow morning. On 226. And I want you to see the numbers that they're putting here. It says that the greatest eclipse part of this ring of fire eclipse of the sun occurs at 9:54 a.m., which is 8:54 our time. But I'm going to go through both the numbers real quick. I want you to see how amazing this is. What did Yahweh say in Genesis 1:14? He gave us the moon and the sun for and the stars. For signs. Tomorrow's 226. Here's 226. It means a sign or signs. right? Are y'all writing this down? Man, your pencils and pens should be a ring of fire, on fire right now. Y'all have your reeds in your hand? Okay, now, here's 226 in the Greek. It means to speak or do the truth, to maintain the truth. And it means to speak the truth. It means to be true in doctrine and profession, to speak, to tell the truth. And it's from the Greek word athelos, and it means unconcealed and true. It means what can't be hidden. It stresses what undeniable reality when something is fully tested. It will be ultimately shown to be a fact. Is Yahweh not making it crystal clear? Is it not ultimately being shown right now who he's working with? Man, I don't know how we sleep. It means real, true, truly, truth, truthful. Now, who would that be? The faithful witness. Remember the moon? The faithful witness. Pastor Israel Hawkins. He speaks the truth. He tells the truth. He tells it like it is. Okay? And he's not lying, House of Yahweh. You know that. You've seen with your own eyes what Yahweh has done. Now, at 8:54 Abilene time is when you can see this. Notice this. It means disappearing or disappearance. Vanishing. Well, what occurs during an eclipse? That's right. The sun will vanish. Okay? It's going to vanish. It's going to disappear. And it means to disappear. To vanish away. And it's from that Greek word there. And it means cause to disappear, hide, remove, disfigure, vanish away. This is what occurs in an eclipse. To put out of view, to make unseen. It's from this word here, 852, and it means invisible, unseen, and hidden. Remember, there's one side that's an invisible, unseen, nefarious side there on the city of Seven Hills, you know, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. They're not hidden to us, okay? They're not hidden to the house of Yahweh. Pastor's exposing them, okay? He's been exposing them, and they are fully exposed now. They have no cloak or covering anymore, do they? Notice this. 9:54 is when, Eastern time, you'll see this. Notice what it means, ashamed, to be ashamed. It means to confound. Remember Isaiah 24:14, the sun will be confounded, the moon will be ashamed, covered. Y'all remember that? Gee, what a coincidence. Because that's what occurs during an eclipse. Covered with shame, ashamed, confounded. And 9:54 in the Greek is Beelzebul, Satan, the Lord of the heavenly habitation, the chief of the spirits, the evil spirits, or Baal. Remember Hebrews 12:2? Yahshua, look to Yahshua, who despised the shame. And when you're enduring, House of Yahweh, look to Yahshua, who despised the shame. He despised Baal. Okay? He didn't give in any way to this Baal worship. Ring of fire, 3:22. Isn't it amazing? Now, for my closing scripture, turn to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. Because we're going to read verses 4 and 5. Are you ready? On page 717. Hey, 717, that means gathering. Amazing. It says in verse 4, who said to him, run, speak to this young man and say, Jerusalem, you know, the city of the priest who teaches peace. Don't get it confused with that place over in the Middle East. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about Jerusalem right here where you're sitting. Jerusalem will be inhabited like villages without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle in it. Verse 5, for I, says Yahweh, will be like a wall of fire surrounding her and will be the glory in the midst of her. Let me read that again. For I, says Yahweh, will be like a wall of fire surrounding her. That word surrounding is word number 5439, the same as in the word or Texas State Highway Loop 322, which means surrounding. Are you afraid, House of Yahweh? No, we have no reason to be. We have a wall of protection. Yahweh, our Father, who is with us, who's been with us. Abilene, you know, the press room was dedicated, you know, in Abilene there, within that loop. To me, it's just so amazing, so incredible that Yahweh's going to, he's proving he's with this house and he will protect us, House of Yahweh. So don't be afraid, stand in your place. And at this time, stand up in your place. And at this time, it's been an honor and privilege. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan, Ilya Hawken.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Now, when we play the news today, there's some things I want you to keep in mind. And, of course, some of this carrying over from last week. And write down for your notes, remember Revelations 9:17, where that gives you the colors of this nuclear bomb, this red, yellow, and blue. Of course, these colors that we talked about, the uranium artillery being used in Syria and in Iraq last week. And, of course, these colors that come from it, this being used, developed in 1934 for these bombs to be used. And then remember what Yeshua said in Matthew 24 and verse 7, how nation would rise against nation, and of course kingdom against kingdom, and there would be famines, pestilence, of course disease epidemics, and earthquakes in place after place. Now it's commonly shown in the news continually about these earthquakes that are taking place, and you can't predict when the next one's going to come. They're trying, but they can't. There's so many coming. But what we want to concentrate on today are these wars that are taking place, wars and rumors of wars, but also how these epidemics are coming from these things. And then, of course, remember in verse 12 that Yahshua said that iniquity, this breaking of Yahweh's law, would abound, and the love of many would grow cold. And then remember Daniel 12:10, where it says, but the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but of course the righteous will understand. They will know. And the only way we can understand is because we have a teacher. We have someone to lead and guide us, and that's where our understanding comes from. And getting into the news, of course, we have, and listen carefully to this, because sometimes our mind, we hear about bestiality in the world today, and we kind of focus on one point. But there's some other things taking place that is a form of bestiality, and that's when you try to join an animal to a man or a woman, to mankind. And, of course, they're doing operations on people's eyes now, and they're helping people see again. They're doing such a wonderful thing for these people is what they're saying, but they're not telling them where their eyes are coming from or their coronary is coming from that they're using in the eye. They're calling it an engineered product. Watch the news and you can see very clearly where these are coming from. But these people are getting these things not knowing. And there's no telling what the end result of this is going to be because it should not take place. But watch to see where these eyes are coming from. And then remember what Isaiah said about these priests who eat swine's flesh. So consider all of that when you're watching it. And then, of course, there's an interview that was done recently with William Perry. Now, he is the former Secretary of Defense under Bill Clinton. So when President Bill Clinton was in office, he was the Secretary of Defense, and he was on a show on RT, and he was speaking about how things are getting worse. And, of course, RT is showing how the thought of nuclear war is no longer outlandish. It's very realistic. And he goes on to say about how that this ICBM nuclear missiles, it would be very easy for a nuclear war, whether United States wanted one or Russia wanted one or not. It's really kind of apart from the opportunity of a war taking place due to false alarms in the way systems are set up. And Pastor's been bringing that for a while. Because remember, if a false alarm goes off in a country, and there's been 3 go off in America and 2 in Russia, and we also have some more showing how easy a nuclear explosion could take place, even in the UK, and watch that, because there's many incidents where it could have already taken place, just hasn't. But it would be very easy, because once something begins, remember, you have 1 hour and it could all be done. Once an alarm goes off, it's on its way. You have to react. There's no time for consideration of what can we do and gather the team around and let's talk about it. It's an act now. And of course, if someone is shooting a nuclear missile your way, what do you think they're going to do and do very rapidly? They're going to return, but return heavier than what is being offered to the country that is receiving. And of course, remember this last week, President Trump said that the United States needs to build their nuclear arsenal. And he said, if we're going to be a nuclear country, we need to be the leader of the pack. And that's what he said. He's talking about how we need to build it up and show what we need to do. And of course, they're all saying that this could take place due to a blunder, or what they're saying is a mishap. And of course, wars are still going on. We don't talk about them every Sabbath, but these wars in the Middle East, in and around the great river Euphrates, in Sudan, in Somalia, all of these things are taking place. It's not like when it's not shown on the news, they take a break for a little while. They're killing people at an enormous amount over there. And of course, Yahshua said these wars are leading to famine in Nigeria alone. They're having famine, and consider this, they're having famine due to there were farmers that could have planted their crops. The weather would have allowed the crops to grow, but they couldn't because of the war. You risk going out into the field and being killed because the war was so great. So now you have Nigerian famine. You get into East Africa with Somalia and Kenya. Pray for our people to be able, the doors open soon, that they get out of there, because it's going to become a place of death. You know, pray diligently that these people will be delivered, and Yahweh will deliver his people. But these things are taking place due to a lack of water, due to a lack of necessity. Now, the UN is, of course, they're coming out. You know, they're the Un-United Nations, they're coming out, and they're saying how they can save the day. And they need their, of course, reports say $4.4 billion. Then they're saying $5.6 billion. That should get us going, where we can help these poor Yemenis and of course, all of these others that are starving to death. But I want you to consider something. Saudi Arabia alone, they've been bombing. I want to show you an article real quick to show you what's going on. It says Saudi Arabia spends $180 billion on war in Yemen, Yemen Clerics Association. Of course, that's the ones reporting this. Now, they go on to say that since March 2015, the Saudi-led coalition of mostly Persian Gulf countries have been carrying out airstrikes against the Houthis request despite a ceasefire being agreed upon in April. So the Houthis have been bombed there in Yemen. $180 billion have been spent. And of course, March, next month, very soon coming upon us, would be 2 years, 24 months. Now keep in mind, the UN is saying we can fix this, we can do something with $5.6 billion. But yet, Saudi Arabia has spent $7.5 billion bombing Yemen. So if all we need is money to fix the problem, why is the problem not fixed? Why is the problem not fixed? In fact, I want to read you a quote from one of the clerics in Yemen, and this was his quote. He said, "The Saudis have already spent $180 billion on the war in Yemen. For decades, they have hoarded weapons. If they had only spent $1 billion for peaceful purpose, this would have led to a totally different outcome." You know, and that's true. But of course, Pope Francis is rushing in to save the day. This came out this morning. RT is reporting a great world war for water looming, Pope Francis warns. And he says the right to water is essential for the survival of persons and decisive for the future of humanity. Of course, Pope Francis said that during a meeting with international experts participating in a dialogue on water. "All people have a right to safe drinking water," he added. "I asked myself, if in this piecemeal third world war we are having, that we are living through, are we not going toward a great world war for water?" And of course, then the UN goes on to say that every day 1,000 children die of illness linked to water and contaminated water. Keep in mind that when children starve, When they don't have anything to eat, the immune system goes down. They die. Dead bodies lay out in the open because they can't bury the amount of the people that are dying. Disease spread. So you have your famine. You have your diseases. All of these things spreading rapidly. And of course, Pope Francis goes on to say that we need to do something, but he didn't say what we need to do. He didn't offer any solutions. He just says we need to do something, as he sets on his billions with the Vatican's billions, of course, and they wrote that for him to read, so they should know what's going on. But of course, the UN says that mankind's future ability to feed itself is in jeopardy due to intensifying pressures on natural resources, mounting equality, and the fallout from a climate change. But listen to this, though. In 2016, UN Water released a report saying that about 663 million people lack ready access to improved sources of drinking water, while the number of people without reliable access to water of good enough quality to be safe for human consumption is at least 1.8 billion. 1.8 billion. You have all of these problems. The UN is making it sound like for the small amount of money, of course, we can help. We can save these people that are left from the destruction. All of these are nice words. They sound really great. But, of course, the love of many has grown cold. There's nothing being done for these people. The only hope these people have sits in Abilene, Texas, in a place called Abilene, the House of Yahweh, and that is you. So please keep this in mind as you watch the news and think about this every day as we go forward. If everyone will please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You're a beautiful sight on a cold morning. You see this, Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. That statement means a great deal, has already been shown. If you notice those drought situations, it's only Muslims that are starving to death. I don't know if anyone mentioned that or not, but pay attention to what's going on. You'll see that these droughts are forced. I've got an article on that somewhere. I don't know if it's for me to read today or not, but if so, I'll read it. The world is looking just exactly like the prophecy showed that it would look in this time period. In 2016, the global defense spending was $1.57 trillion global defense spent to kick off decade of growth, the market says. Now, you could take... I had some figures that if you took one-tenth of that money that's spent on defense spending, and it would be more than enough to feed these people that are, they admit, is starving to death. More than enough. They've asked for over $5 billion, and that 10% of that would reach far over that if they would do it. They won't do it, of course. And here's an interesting article. Extreme weather, not terrorism, but extreme weather is the biggest risk to the world in 2017. Not terrorist, but extreme weather. And this is talking about knocking the world out. It's not just a few tornadoes here and there, but disrupting life all over the world. And eventually, the firmament is going to get the upper hand. It's fighting back now. By the time we declare a famine, which the news, if you saw it, the news shows that they're declaring now that we have famine and millions of people are about to starve to death. Well, by the time we declare a famine, it's already too late. Now, that's what they're saying. And, of course, it hits children. Even if they don't die, it ruins their brains. But it also hits men and women alike, adults as well as children. And you get to a point to where there's no coming back. Here's the article. Just 10% of world military spending could knock off poverty. 10%. And that would bring in $170 billion. They were asking for a little over $5 billion. This article says $4.4 billion required to prevent famine, prevent the deaths. They're dying. $4.4 billion. Oh, boy. They can do without the... They can't do without the wars. We're reaching these people. This week, the top song... Praise Yahweh. The tops, I thought, was Tokyo. And, yeah... Tokyo, and the article, I said, where's the headlines? And they had this half a letter written as a headline, and I was arguing that this wasn't going to do. Approximately 2,000 years ago, our Messiah spoke about a great last day's work we would accomplish. A work we would accomplish, now says Israel Hawkins in latest post. That's the headline. I said, that's never going to do. You need a shorter headline. But I gave in, and I'm glad I did now. Total impressions, if you get me the latest, I'd like the latest. This one came to me about 6:30 this morning. Total headlines impression 67,337 and climbing rapidly. That story's at the top of Google too. I've got to show you this. I'm anxious to get into this sermon, but now these are refugees. They're from Libya. They are across the border and into Tanzania now. Well, they have been, I guess, for quite some time. Can you read the... Beautiful, huh? I tell you, it is really beautiful. Libyan. This was from the Libyan civil wars. They call it. These civil wars is, if you watch how they start them, there's a lot of people, soldiers being paid to start these civil wars, and of course I'm going to show you where it's coming from here in just a moment if we get to it. But I want to get this refugee camp in your mind. I don't expect to get to this part in Scripture today, but I want you to take a look at this refugee camp built in the desert, tents. You can imagine how hot it is. And as the great deacon Shlomo brought out, we really should be thankful that Yahweh is protecting his house. This is probably... what the whole world is going to here shortly. Trillions of them in an effort to get rid of every form of holiness. And don't forget why they're getting rid of these people. They're getting rid of every form of holiness. This is one of the thrown together tents of one of the people that's spreading the word over there. Here's a bunch of tents behind there to show you the what they've thrown together to take care of it. This is a beautiful sight right here. Can you see that word paved? Look at that one. Hey, boy. What a beautiful sight. Join us. Stop watching violence for one day. Pretty soon, they're going to be saying, stop the wars for one day. Then forever. Oh, boy, I can't talk for crying. This man is a truck driver, and we blowed this up just a little so we could see it, but it blurred the picture. It was so small. Yeah, that's jumped from 67,000 to 73,000 already. Praise Yahweh. And part of that was from Tokyo. Let's see, this is a truck driver. You see on the side of his truck this same sign that the paid people to stop watching violence for one day. This makes it more real when you see it in action. Look at that. It's a water bottle. No lights, no nothing in the house. I was raised like that, by the way. Glad I was. I'm very glad to have gone through what Yahweh took me through. I'm going to get over this one of these days. Maybe when I get my new body. Now, with these pictures in mind now, I'll just leave that laying there. With these pictures in mind, I want you to pay really close attention to this article, because the Vatican always stays in the background, but the Vatican is leading this thing, and when you saw the Roman Empire collapse, they started maneuvering at that time to take advantage of the people to create what they call a democracy. It's not really a democracy. I've talked about this several times. It's a forced by law. They pass laws. As Donald Trump said, where's the law? Well, of course, Daniel said he was amazed at the amount of law that this laws that the beastly system passed to try to govern the people and keep them in line by force. Always by force. Force has never worked, but they've been trying force since the days of Cain. All the world has gone the way of Cain. He killed Abel in order to get the people to be God worshipers, train them in God worship instead of following Yahweh's righteousness. That was started by Cain. Of course, after the flood, the school of Nimrod, which is all the schools in the world today are schools of Nimrod. And the Catholic Church is active in bringing forth the teaching, seeing that no scriptures are taught. You can't read the scriptures in the schools. We did. Now, we did in Oklahoma. My fifth grade teacher, I remember, called on me to read the scripture. And of course, it was illegal, but we did it anyway. Nobody said anything about it, and I guess they probably stopped it by now, before now. But we read the scriptures in that room, in that one single room in the school. We read it every night at home. And of course, the world burning was something that I would ask the preachers about. How in the world is the world going to burn? Somebody going to knock over a candle? You know, the whole world in an hour. I think I was about 8 years old when I started asking that question and never got it answered by them at all, by the Christian world. Well, of course, now we know, comes from Yahweh, and he shows his house. But this article, it's from the Vatican. Vatican, Middle East Politics. And the Vatican, Middle East Politics, Beyond the Clash of Civilization, it's called. Vatican, Middle East Politics. This means that the Vatican is involved in the what they call politics, but those politics is what's bringing about the deaths of certain religions. Doing away with every form of holiness, as Daniel said. It calls it, in the King James Version, it says, to destroy the holy people. But correctly translated, it means every form of holiness. And that's what's taken place. We have seen it. We've witnessed it. That's our job, to witness this and bring it out to the world, to witness it taking place. You saw how they forced sodomy through the Supreme Court of America by their Catholic priest who are on the Supreme Court. And they set them up and they get them in office. And when they got the office right and they got everything right in their political maneuvering and councils, then they run the law through. I spoke of Roe versus Wade last week. Don't forget that. This is a very important lesson in your lifetime, something you should carry throughout all eternity and spread it. This was a fake trial, a false trial, a mockery of the courts. One of the lawyers, I don't know if great Kohan Benjamin mentioned it or not, but one of the lawyers of that went to the same school at the same time that I did in McMurray. The woman they used never had an abortion. The woman they used thought they were defending her on some other things and going to get her some money. But instead, they used this woman, who died, by the way, while I was speaking last Sabbath. Quite a coincidence, huh? Well, of course, she relented on when she found out what they had done and all the millions of babies that's being murdered. She relented. She went to both courts, tried to get it changed. They wouldn't hear her. You need to read the whole history of this and know what took place there. And then you'll see how the Vatican maneuvers. They have people, their tentacles, I've told you, reaches every nation on earth. Even in the lands where she can't operate, they have 10 kings there in the 10 different places. 10 kings. The Vatican can't do that. They can't go there. They're forbidden. But they got inside there, they got their Catholic Church. And of course, it's doing its maneuvering, and they're going to be given authority as kings over those nations. I've already brought this out now, but you should remember it. Those 10 kings are going to be given, those 10 Catholic religions are going to be given authority over their nations 1 hour with the beast. That's what your scripture shows. And they're going to do such a great job of depopulating that they're going to depopulate the Vatican completely. And they got underground holes over there they're trying to get into and get more built faster. I think they got the house of Yahweh rocks hidden under there somewhere, maybe put together, and the Pope is taking his seat in there every once in a while. How filthy that throne must be by now if this is what's taking place. I can imagine what comes from the bottom end of that person whose wickedness has reached down so low that it's bringing up the sewage, and then he's sitting in the seat with it. If you can imagine that being going on, as humiliating, but in honor of the gods. And they go to extremes. You think they don't? Look at the extremes they go to kill babies. The number is staggering. The number of babies they're killing is staggering from those false trials that they put through the Supreme Court. Get that in your mind. Now, this letter, this news article, it says Vatican Middle East policies. Normally, they send their Santa Claus out, and he takes note, you know, and brings back and delivers messages and so forth. But they got the article showing where it actually comes from here. You can get this yourself if you want to, or I'll give you a copy of it. Vatican Middle East policies beyond the clash of civilization. For some time, the Holy See's political approach now to these problems, they're the ones that bring about the problems. They're the ones that form the ISIS. They're the ones that form the civil wars. They can tell you in advance, you know, it looks like a civil war coming, you know. And the Pope makes out like they're against it. And then he turns around and says, no, it's just. Pay attention to what's going on so you'll know that the divining serpent is the one behind this thing bringing it about. Vatican means the divining serpent. For some time now, the Holy See's political approach to the Middle East has followed well-defined outlines. Did you get that? Outlines from who? Has followed well-defined outlines coming straight from the Vatican, the city that sits on seven hills. Revelation 17, last verse says, this woman, this great whore, wherever she's sitting is filthy. And that's what Revelation 17 shows. She brings forth the abominations of the earth, trying to get rid of all forms of holiness and follow the evil of the gods, the evil gods. The same thing that Satan taught from the beginning. And mankind fell for it. Well, after that, the tree of life was taken away. The tree of life was taken away. And it was prophesied what? That Christians will go out and save the world, right? They'll have millions of souls. Millions of souls campaigns to follow them into war. By this you will conquer. Conquer in war by force. Get that in your mind. It's not coming. They're not bringing peace. They never have. They're trying to force everyone to be Catholic. We got food for you. If you'll just repent and stop following this one form of holiness that you're following. Of course, they'd rather die than to do so. That's what the apostle said. They'd rather die. That's what I say too. I would rather die than to follow their form of godliness. In recent years, however, the complex equilibrium of the entire Middle East has been altered by the development of Islamic radicalism. In the last few years, it's been altered. They had it going their way. Well, what did you expect? Trying to force, lead it by force. Yeshua said force will never work. Remember this? He said the people in the nations, the divining serpent as the leader, they follow force. The ones in authority rule over the others. And those that's higher than they rule over them. The highest there is this great filthy whore that brings forth abominations to the earth. Killing babies is an abomination. Surely anyone can see that. Fornication and adultery is an abomination. Defiling your father's bed. And it goes on and on from generation to generation, clear down to the present time. That's the abominations that you're following when you step foot out of the house of Yahweh. The only place on the face of the earth that's bringing forth the peaceful solution is right here. And the name is the house of Yahweh. I don't know if that was brought out today or not, but there's quite a few numbers. I don't put stock in numbers, but when they back up the scriptures, they're wonderful. And they're really beautiful what Yahweh has gone to extremes to show you every move of the people in the house of Yahweh. Where at, you know, where location, everything, even the circle, the ring that goes around. Oh, it's beautiful. In recent years now, their plans to bring forth democracy to the nations, and that, as they call it, peace, they're under the disguise of peace. Remember, Daniel said, by peace they will destroy many. By peace. Revelation 8, by peace he will destroy many. That is speaking of this group that now sits on seven hills that moved there in 70 A.Y., took the house of Yahweh with them, all the wealth, killed all the people in Jerusalem that came there to keep the feast, killed 6 million Jews, they called them, in Germany, called them dogs and apes and you name it. But they slaughtered them because they kept the Sabbath on the menorah, that would not eat pork and so forth. All of this has taken place. The blood of the saints was found there. That's what the apostle Yochanan wrote. So in recent years, however, you remember now when the Roman Empire collapsed and then came the quartet was formed. Still there, by the way. It just wasn't called the quartet until the last day. What's left of that quartet is going to repent. That's shown in Scripture. There won't be much left of it, but what is left of the quartet will repent, along with the, they say 24 elders. It's not 24 elders. You need to get that in your mind. The priest who were in unity, that word 24, It actually means in who were in unity, and all that were created by Yahweh fell down and worshiped Yahweh, who sat on the throne, saying, may this be so. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Well, that's when war will stop, of course. That's after the one-hour burning. But here are their plans. Now, the Catholic Church started maneuvering to keep up their strength, but they were losing out, and they kept bringing great slaughters, crusades, and so forth down through the years, killing off people who went out on their own and saw that when they saw the Catholic Church was not bringing forth righteousness. And they would see a little bit of righteousness, and they'd start a movement And of course, the Catholic Church would quickly form a crusade, go take their land away from them that they'd developed, cleared, and was farming and so forth, and take them into slavery. They didn't do it themselves, but they sent priests to form armies that went out, form ISIS, form civil wars. These things were done back then the same as they are now, and they called them civil wars. They're hoping to wreck America with a civil war. They tried to. It didn't work, but they tried to. And I think Satan then, when she was trying to do that, she was trying to destroy everyone in America when she brought that civil war. They call it a civil war. But keep that in mind. Nothing is taking place on its own. It didn't just happen. It was formed. It was maneuvered by this group. They haven't lost power, not ever. Yada holds the key to law, the scepter. The ruling scepter. Get that in your mind. And he's going to hold it clear up to the end. Yes, the tree of life was taken away, and Christianity, the worship of gods, was allowed to go free and do what they wanted to do in order to prove, what sin brings. That's simple. It's a great plan. It's a wonderful plan. I'll let you go your own way. You're going to have full power. I won't interrupt you, he said. Everything they've imagined in their heart, then go ahead and do it. And I'll show you where your end will be. And he does. And everything that he says for this generation right now is here. It's come to pass. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled right in front of our eyes right now. Well, they maneuvered. Now, Yahweh said in Genesis, he said, he shows you exactly when Yahshua is going to take over, when he's going to let Yahshua take over, Yahshua and the saints. He's not going to send you out to war. Remember that. He said, when they kneel down and the obedience of the nations is ours, then Yahweh will let us have it. He's not going to hand us a handful of trouble. Yahweh is going to let this thing play it out, and the obedience of the nations is ours. It will belong to the house of Yahweh. The scepter will change hands. It will be Yahshua's scepter. Then we will take over, and there will be war no more, because we will guard and keep those scriptures in your mind. We're going to guard and keep Yahweh's way from there on. We won't allow this ever again. Well, in recent years now, however, the complex equilibrium of the entire Middle East has been altered by the development of Islamic radicalism. It's been altered. It's disrupted the plans of the Vatican. This is speaking of the Vatican and the policies of the Middle East policies and her maneuvering the nations to get what she wants. What she wants is democracy. Why democracy? So she can pass laws and say, well, this was passed by the majority vote. It's the people running this America, and so it was passed by majority vote. Yeah, just like abortion, just like the trickery that went through the Supreme Court with abortion. And the trickery that went through the Supreme Court was sodomy. And the people are raving about it and saying, I don't want my daughters to go into a restroom in school with a bunch of boys. This is nonsense. Why are you doing this to us? This is what the people are saying. The majority of the people are saying. Immigrants? Immigrants? They call us immigrants? You know, my father and mother and grandparents, they were all immigrants. They came here. They came here before Donald Trump was born. They came to America running for their life. Settled in Kentucky. got off of the boat in Kentucky or Tennessee, I don't know which, took no part in war. I can't find where any of my kinfolks ever took part in war. Their name was Hawkins, which meant zealous priest of Yahweh. So they were running for their life. They found a safe place here in America. And now Satan is out to get rid of all immigrants, what they call immigrants. Everybody in America, brother, is an immigrant. We ran from the Catholic Church, the Vatican, in order to get to here and take over this land, which the Vatican has attempted time after time to take it over completely and do what they're doing, as the president of the Philippines said, they do nothing to help us. They come here and rake up the money, gather up the money, and they go back to the Vatican with it. That was his words, not mine. He can tell you what they want to do to America, and they're taking plenty of money from here too. They pay Catholic priests to run every prison in the world. You got to have a Catholic priest over your prisons, several of them, to take care of these prisoners. You know why? To make sure that they don't get certain literature. That's right. To make sure they don't know any truth. Make sure there's no form of holiness being taught in that prison. This goes on all over the United States. They have the upper hand, right? Well, not really. Yahweh has allowed them to go their way for a certain length of time and tells them exactly what it's going to bring. Then he says the scepter is going to be taken from Yada, that's the Vatican, and given to Yahshua, the high priest over the house of Yahweh. That should be clear, crystal clear. By the fading of the hope for a peaceful resolution. Now, this is the radical Muslims that's the fading of hope. That's what they're saying. By the fading of the hope for a peaceful resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and more radically, by the decisions made by the United States government. See how they're blaming the United States government? The United States government needs to change. We need a one-world government. That's what they're saying. Been saying it for years, and they keep maneuvering, but their plans gets interrupted by a bunch of radical Muslims. Well, I don't think everybody in America is a radical Muslim, and there's plenty of them here that's trying to disrupt their plan. And they're holding up signs saying, no, this is not my president. You know, this shows there's no unity in what's going on. When you got people rioting in the streets, being arrested, some of them even killed, murdered, that's not unity. And we got much of it, many rising right now. And I would bet a dollar to a hole in a donut that it increases. No, it won't get better. It never gets better by force. Unity is the key to bringing about a peaceful government. Unity. Unified laws. Perfect laws is the only way to bring that peace, bring unity. Well, by the fading of the hope of a peaceful resolution, resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and more radically by the decision made by the United States government in response to the events of September 11, 2001. It is not only a question of the military intervention in Afghanistan. Yes, this was a great example right here of force and how they wanted to take over this land, get rid of Muslims, and set up democracy where they could go in, pass laws, and govern this and, of course, rake in the wealth to the divining serpent. Let's read that again. I want you to understand this. It is not only a question of the military intervention in Afghanistan and Iraq and of the increasingly unconditional support of the Bush administration for Israel's Prime Minister, Ariel Sharon, politics. These initiatives are set within a much more ambitious plan. Did you get that? The plan. The plan comes from the seven hills of Rome. That's what's shown in prophecy in your Bible, or better, the Book of Yahweh, which has the stated objective of combating international terrorism and overturning with the preventative use of force, if necessary, the dictatorial regimes of the Middle East, and substituting them with democratic governments. They call it democratic governments. That democratic government that they got, you can see them in action, killing babies, passing unjust laws, going out of their way in trickery, deception. The law passed on sodomy was not the people's choice. The law of killing babies is not the people's choice. If you got the people's choice and you actually gave them a choice of righteousness versus evil, I'll bet you more hands went up for righteousness than would go up for evil right now. It is too soon to know whether this American project will succeed, but Vatican policies, notice again, this is Vatican policies, must take it into account. Remember, I want to take you back to Malachi Martin again in his book, The Keys of This Blood. Malachi Martin knows, he knew that Yada had the ruling scepter. He knew it's set on seven hills of Rome. He called it the keys of this blood. It was the keys of the blood shown in the Holy Scriptures. It was the ruling that the law not be taken away, the ruling scepter not be taken away from Yada. Yada would rule, and in these last days, Yada would rule from the seven hills of Rome. It's never changed hands. It's still Yada, the same ones that killed the disciples, the Savior, and so forth. It killed all the people in Jerusalem. The Roman army was theirs. They commanded the Roman army. This is plainly shown in the 7th and 8th chapter of Acts. They commanded the Roman army. Now they command the whole world's armies, the strongest armies on earth. They is taking part in this. And Malachi Martin said, this Pope, the Vatican Church, hopes to come out on top. But he said, so does the United States and so does Russia. Now, which means they're divided. And they're actually fighting against one another in order to bring this about, get rid of the ones they don't want, depopulate the earth, have plenty of land, you know, just on their own. But the United States hopes to, this is a plan, a well-laid plan, as this article shows, coming straight from the Vatican. The dividing serpent. And it's being disrupted. It's a well-laid plan, but it's being brought forth by force. And it's being disrupted daily now. And the disruptions are mounting. They're all forming ways to force their way. And all the world suffers from the force and is going to suffer worse than this. it is too soon to know whether the American project will succeed, but Vatican politics must take it into account. And with it, the other factors that have altered the picture in the Middle East, evaluating whether the strategy followed until now to reach its objectives requires correction. So they're studying it right now. They have their own sea of glass before them, just as Yahweh does, and they're studying the nations to see what develops next and how to take care of that problem, how to put force, how to hire more ISIS, how to create more civil wars. What is it we're going to do next? Pay close attention to this one. In recent times, the ideal model of this coexistence has been identified in Lebanon. The first pictures I showed you, remember? These people were refugees that came out of Lebanon. They're still suffering. They're living in refugee camps still today. I'll get you to the prophecy of this very, very soon. But they will be rounded up, Yahweh says. They will be put into a pit. That pit means a concentration camp. They will be kept for many days. Look how long these people have been there. Since Lebanon. That's what he's talking about here. And those people are still suffering. And they're still holding up peace signs, hoping for a better life one day. That should be plain. I don't know how I could make it any plainer. You know, Putin said this very same thing, Prime Minister of Russia. He said, it makes no difference who's president. They're following a certain plan that's already been laid for them. It makes no difference who's president. This plan is going to go forward. Well, that's what this decision from the Vatican here is all about. In recent times, the ideal model of this coexistence has been identified in Lebanon, where numerical equilibrium between Christians and Muslims, see, this is the ideal, democracy as they call it, but the Christians passing the laws, illegal laws, of course, they'll get their laws through no matter what. As they did abortion, as they did sodomy, right here under our noses in America, with the people hating what they were seeing, but they got it through and they got a law to back them up so they can arrest anyone who fights against it. Well, the same model now is in Lebanon, where they went in, took the land. We still have refugees still being held in the pit, but be visited in many days. That is, their plans are to visit them in many days. By the time a famine is reported, I read you that. By the time it's reported, it's too late. Those people can't live forever without food. How long could you live if your food and water is shut off from you? It's only a matter of days. They're asking for billions of dollars here to solve a problem that's already gone. Those people are dead. New ones are taking their place. And the Muslims guarantee, let's see, Christians and Muslims guaranteed the equality of the citizens of both communities and permitted the creation of a political system. Get this now. They're permitted to follow the Catholic Church's orders here, permitted the creation of a political system with more developed democracy, democratic elements, with more development of democratic developments, the same democratic developments as brought through murder of children and sodomy into all the schools, restrooms that nobody knows what they're going to, all of these things. You can see their actions and what they're doing. Every form of holiness than those existing in many other countries in the region. If you go over to Revelations now, Revelations 17. Revelation 17. Don't ever forget this article I read you. If you need a copy of it, get it and put it in your book of Yahweh and read it every once in a while. This is very enlightening information that the Vatican puts out showing the predicament that it's in now and how it must maneuver to get out and how it's begging for help and begging for money, begging for support. The money is the most critical thing, seems like. I don't know how they spend so much money, but they won't repent because of sorcery, of murders. That's what Revelations 9 says, 20 and 21. They won't repent of that, the sorceries, because of the love, a love for money. And as the great deacon brought out today, if you had a room full of money, you know, it's not going to bring you satisfaction. What satisfaction would you have? Then you'd go be like Satan, be roaming to try to find a place where you could spend part of it. And that too is just plain vanity. The important things is learning, overcoming, finding righteousness and following it. Those things, as he said today, they're eternal. You can take it with you. Even if you die, Satan can't take it from you. All your money will be left behind you. Well, here in Revelation 17 now, we see this Vatican spoken of. It's the seven hills of Rome. Look it up. It sits on seven hills, and he's describing it right here in this article. In verse 7 and 9, he tells you, this is the city that sits on seven hills. Here in the first sentence, it says, come and I will show you the sentence. That is the prophesied end of this system. The prophesied end of this system. Of the great whore that sits upon many waters. That many waters, and I think it's about verse 15, says is multitudes, nations, and languages. This great whore has her tentacles reaching everywhere, even in the United States, with whom the kings of the earth, the religions, this is religions of the earth, have committed fornication, practice God worship, just like Genesis 3 verse 5 said, evil like the gods. You get that? Evil like the God. They're following her. The religion's following the Vatican, the divining serpent, practicing God worship. Evil like the gods. Genesis 3:5. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk. That's confusion. With the wine that is the teaching of this God worship. That's shown in, if you want to compare Genesis, Jeremiah 25, verses 15 and 16. Don't turn now. Let's stay here. I'm out of time. So he carried me away in the spirit into the midst of God worshipers. That spirit carried me away in the spirit was showing the laws and prophecies of Yahweh. And of course, this throws you off a little, but he showed me in the laws and prophecies of Yahweh what was going to take place with this person here, this religion of God worship that started in the beginning with Cain. All the world, as Yada says, Yada 1 verse 11, has gone the way of Cain. That's simple enough to understand, right? The way of Cain is God worship. The way of the Roman Catholic Church is God worship. It's all over the world. Even the Muslims worship gods. Yes, gods and lords. There's no difference in any of these religions. All the religions of the earth have followed her into this God worship. There was no religions, no salvation at all until the prophesied time shown in Genesis 49 with the donkeys tied to the high priest and the branch. That's when in the last days it was taken away. It's not there. It didn't exist. No salvation at all. No authority given. No. Yeshua is still sitting at the right hand of Yahweh waiting to receive it. When he receives it, his whole house that the gates of hell will not prevail against will receive it. You see that? So he carried me away in the spirit through the laws and prophecies of Yahweh and showed me the God worshipers. He saw this woman sitting, rich, colorful, beast, full of the names of blasphemy. That's what Daniel showed in chapter 7, blaspheming Yahweh. Those whose dwelling comes from heaven will be heaven. The sea of glass before the throne, yes, you're there. You may not know it, but you're there and Yahweh's watching you right on the sea of glass. All women, men, and children. The scarlet-colored beast, this is the scarlet, that's the red that stands for death, the four horns of the golden altar that butchers men and women that full of the... full of the names of blasphemy. Each one of their gods had a name, and each one of them blasphemed the name Yahweh and his laws, having seven heads and ten horns, which he shows what these are. In verse 7, there are seven heads. Shows in verse 9. Verse 9, seven mountains. You can look that up in any encyclopedia and find out that Rome sits on seven hills, all named after gods, all full of the names of blasphemy. Well, this woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet-colored, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations. You know, with all of that wealth, do you get that? Should have added that to your sermon there today. All of that wealth, and it's all going to be burned in 1 hour. And her merchants are all going to be saying, look, this city of riches that's helped us to gain wealth, all gone in 1 hour. This is what your wealth will bring you. Abominations and filthiness of her fornication. That's the teaching of God worship. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots. That is, the mother of the religions, all the religions, kings of the earth. Follow her in this great God worship. It's all over the world. Every religion you see worships God. We're the only ones on earth that don't worship gods. We worship Yahweh. Verse 7, where do we want to go? The ten kings that we brought out, I brought that out several months before this. The ten kings came to the Catholic Church to re, to receive the promise of authority, which they will for that 1 hour, shown in verse 12. They'll receive that for that 1 hour. They're going to be given authority to bring nuclear war, burn the earth, as is shown in verse 14. They make war with the Lamb, and they hope to destroy all the heavens that include the earth and the earth. That's what Yahshua said. Remember, he said, these laws are going to be go through. The prophecies are all going to go through unless they can destroy heaven and earth. And then he says they can't. They're going to be cut short, he said. But they would, if Yahweh allowed it, they would destroy earth and the heavens that involve the earth. And he said to me, the waters which you saw are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. That's verse 15. Verse 16, the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast. We just saw them, numbered them, counted them here in front of you. These will hate the whore. Yes, their hatred is going to turn against her eventually because they're going to see, they're going to understand. They're going to be given an amount of understanding, a little bit of understanding, and they're going to see where this is coming from and where the Catholic Church plans to wipe them out and will make her desolate and naked. The Vatican is not going to share their wealth and authority with anyone. They are going to be they in their minds. And as one of the leading members of the Parliament said this week, war begins in the thoughts of man. That's where it begins. And it goes out from there. But notice they are going to burn, verse 16, the 10 horns. They're going to turn against the whore and make war and make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That is the 1 hour burning that's going to take place. Verse 18, the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, this should show you that she is reigning over the kings of the earth and how she does it. She maneuvers to get her way, to get the laws, calling it democracy, which is not. It's not really democracy. It's cheating, lying, and deceiving. And Yahweh showed us that. Just last week, I brought this out, and the woman they used to bring this last one through, the abortion, how it was all a mock trial. It wasn't a majority vote by any means. This is deception. Revelations 12:9, she deceives the whole world. Well, here we see in chapter 18 now that this system is going to fall. Verse 2, Babylon. Look at 17, verse 5. This is written, the name written on her that Yahweh wrote on her, describing her actions, is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlot. Verse 2 of 18 says, Babylon the Great is fallen. She's fallen. She's going down. She's going to be burned with fire. She's become a habitation of demons. That's the gods. Satan's sons, that she preaches, be evil like the gods, Genesis 3, verse 5. Verse 3, and all nations have, all nations, it didn't say a few of the nations now, all nations, get that? All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Verse 4, Yahweh says, come out of her, my people, and they are getting ready to come. They call them refugees. They call them immigrants. They got a few other names for them. Come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake of her sins. So this religion that's sitting on seven hills teaches breaking the law. Sin is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. 1 John 3:4 says sin is the transgression of Yahweh's righteous laws. That's what it is. 7 and 8 says you belong to Satan, the devil, the serpent. The Vatican means the divining serpent. You follow the divining serpent, you belong to her. You belong to Satan. You follow her, you give your service to her. Sodomy, abortion, death to all people, that's her orders. Destroy, destroy. That's been that from the beginning. She inspired Cain to kill Abel. That started continual war. When you belong, when you follow this system, you belong to it. You don't belong to Yahweh. 1 John, 1 Yochanan, 1 John if you have a King James Version, 7 and 8. 3, 1 John 3, verses 7 and 8. You belong to Satan when you follow the teaching of breaking Yahweh's laws. You better read it. You better believe it. Come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake of her sins. Because if you do, if you don't come out and get away from her sins, you will receive her plague. Now that's the promise right there in verse 4. Her sins have reached into the heavens. Remember the article I read to you that the big danger is not terrorism. The big danger, the biggest danger on the face of the earth right now is weather. Disrupted weather patterns because her sins are reaching into the heavens. Now in verse 8 it says therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. Famine, you saw it on the news here, how the famine is increasing. The famine. And even the droughts are increasing. And she will be utterly burned with fire. That's the spoken sentence of the great whore. You know, we didn't have bombs. We didn't have nuclear bombs that could burn the earth when these prophecies were given. It didn't come about till 1934. That's when it started. It's here. Why wouldn't anyone believe that it's going to be used to burn the earth? That's the second part of the prophecy. Great burning. And in verse 10, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. 1 hour. It's judgment says you're going to be burned in 1 hour. Verse 17 says, for in 1 hour such great riches, here's your silver and your gold that you thought that would satisfy you. No satisfaction there. It won't save you. 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. 1 hour, burning. And in verse 19, last part, for in 1 hour, she is made desolate. Isaiah shows the same thing. The earth will be burned. The earth will be burned, completely burned, and few men left. That few men left, of course, we'll see that part of that include the great unity of elders. Those who follow Yahweh's laws in unity, follow the Savior in unity. Yeshua broke no laws. He paved the way for you. He hasn't taken over the power that he's qualified for. He hadn't been given that office yet. But he will. He is part of us, prophesied in Genesis 49. And of course, when it's given unto him, it's given unto us also. We will receive it with him. That's what he says. We don't have long to wait. And the news is showing this. What did I do? Oh, there it is. Can't lose that rubber band. It's only a short time now, and I didn't get one of the articles that I wanted to read, but they're saying that right now that there's so many scenarios, like the book by Caspar Weinberger pointed out, and he painted these scenarios. And they're saying now that these scenarios are all set up, and it'll probably be accidental, they said, but we are going to have nuclear war, and they say there's no way out. The way the system is set up, it could break loose any minute. Well, of course, Yahweh is in control of it, of course, and nothing gets by him. Nothing. He doesn't allow anything that would disrupt his work. He's going to bring his work through, just like he said he would. And in Genesis 49, he will reestablish this great garden that grows trees of life. Yeah, it's food. It's food. It's spiritual food. Spiritual food, as Yochanan 6:63 said, the flesh is worthless, but the laws that I preach to you, they're spirit and they are life. The tree of life. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll now turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.